It's our Thanksgiving pod, and the podcast studio is officially under construction. We're switching to more of a lounge style look here. We got four lounge chairs now, but we don't have all of our mic stands in, so we're not fully put together, but we're together enough. Uncle Clint's holding the mic, Caden's holding the mic. We got some good action coming at you guys. So we need to talk Caleb. Uncle Clint, still not impressed. We're definitely talking Caleb. Caden and I think he's been looking a lot better the last couple weeks. We're also going to discuss our Josh Allen meal planning. I'm starting to look at some local steakhouses. I'm starting to look at the menu. I'm starting to maybe think about what I might be getting in this thing because Josh Allen and the Bills might be coming. What do you got? You can say before we...
I think I got it. Get my wallet ready. I might be in a little trouble.
The Bills are putting in work right now, and the Bills team, Allen's the big reason. I mean, he is the driver.
Even when he doesn't play good, their defense or somebody picks him up, and they're playing solid right now. And this year he's played a lot more mistake free football than he usually does. He's had a much better season, but. I got to go to the Bears game.
Whoa, we haven't even done the full intro. Wait, hang on. We got the Thanksgiving pick six, and then we're closing it out with the bleeping Dodgers who just keep spending the cash. And the Cubs, we got to look at all these little piddly moves that they're making, and it's nothing. It's garbage. All right, it's the sports life. We're talking sports. Let's go. All right, Uncle Clint wants to jump right into this Bears game.
The first thing I want to say is, with 7 minutes to go in the game, why are you going for a two-point conversion? That was the stupidest call I ever seen in my life, and it cost the Bears the game because if they get the 1 point there, they get another one-point conversion, they kick a field goal at the end of that game, and they win by one instead of tie. I have no idea. Something in the analytics look, you win 85% of the time or something if you scored a two-point conversion on the first touchdown. Based on analytics, Eberflus needs to throw analytics out the window and start winning us some football games here because 7 minutes to go, you have to kick the extra point there. I don't know. It wasn't talked a lot about on the radio, which I'm kind of surprised at because, to me, that was the dumbest play of the whole game. That was the dumbest play of the whole game to go for a two-point conversion with 7 minutes left.
Yeah, but it fits this team. It fits this team because every game they do dumb things from a coaching and organizational perspective. Every single game. And right now, this is working out perfectly for the Bears because they're going to get rid of all these clowns. They've already started it with the offensive coordinator, Waldron. Okay? The next guy to go is going to be the head coach. They're going to wait till the end of the season for that. And then they're going to bring in somebody.
You know who they're going to hire? The guy that's the offensive coordinator right now is going to be the Bears' next head coach.
He's pretty good, though.
Offensive coordinator for the Bears?
Yes, he's going to be their next head coach.
No, they can't.
Or it's going to be a Ben Johnson.
They can't hire from within. I like that thought, Caden. I think that the guy, if you could get the guy from the Lions, I mean, obviously I've been talking about Vrabel because I think he's a proven commodity in this league. But again, second up for me, the guy from the Lions. This is an offensive mind that we need for Caleb.
They're going to hire the current offensive coordinator as their next head coach.
I heard the Bears.
What do you think about that?
The Lions offensive coordinator, he showed interest in the Bears last year, but the Bears did not. They were sticking with Eberflus.
Well, if the Lions don't win the Super Bowl, I don't think he's going anywhere. Well, I think he's going to stay where he's at.
We need interest in the Bears this coming season, and if that guy from Detroit is interested, we need to take a serious look at that.
I think as long as the McCaskies are running the organization, we're just not going to win. It doesn't matter what kind of coach you got.
You're probably right, but again, look at this administration we've built here with this Eberflus guy and what's happening week to week. I mean, it is like heartbreak after heartbreak.
Some of it, though, has to go on the players. Eberflus didn't miss a 46-yard field goal. I mean, some of this stuff has to be put down on the players, too.
But that kind of stuff is preparation. Why is a 46-yard field goal getting blocked? Why is that getting blocked?
Because your field goal kicker stinks.
This is all preparation.
No, because there was actually a flag. They hit the long snapper when his head was down. That's a flag.
I don't know about all that.
That's a flag.
So, wait, hey, if you got the mic, you got to hold it in a consistent place. You can't just be swinging it all around like it's a, you know what I mean? You
got,
okay, that's fine. But what I'm saying is that every week, okay. You see Hail Marys happen every single weekend in the NFL. Yeah. Hail Marys every weekend.
What's a player supposed to do with a Hail Mary?
You never see one like what happened to the Bears where a guy just caught it like it was a balloon falling.
What are you supposed to do with Hail Mary? Knock the ball down. Instead, exactly. The Bears guy knocks the ball up in the air. That ain't Eberflus ain't got nothing to do with it.
I disagree. The players need to be in the right position to show that they practice these things. Why do they never have timeouts when they need timeouts? Why are they always getting false starts coming out of timeouts? Pre-snap penalties all season. Poor time clock management the whole season. These things lose games. The Bears have been in very close games this season. Close games.
You
stop doing that.
You hear Caleb.
Playing with this quarter.
You hear Caleb on there saying, I couldn't hear what the play call was. I didn't want to run that play. You're the quarterback. Change the play. Do an audible. What are you doing?
Look,
you're in charge of the squad.
Rookie quarterbacks, you have to make it easier for them. This offensive coordinator has made it easier for them. He's coming out. He's getting the ball out of his hands. And when he gets the ball out of his hand, he's putting the ball on the
took
money.
Two atrocious sacks. Still had two or three big overthrows in that game on guys that were wide open. He did play better. He did play better.
But look at
the
results.
He's got two touchdowns in five games. I mean, if you think that's a coming out party for a guy, then, I mean, to me, it's just he's not as good as they're making him out on the radio.
He's got
time. He's got potential.
He's getting the ball out of his hands quicker, and that's by design. The other guy was killing him. He wasn't getting the play calls were not designed correctly for him. And this is what we've talked about with Jaden Daniels. He had a system to work with right out of the gate, just like he had in college. They were taking care of him. Caleb was not being taken care of here. If they get that going in the right direction, the Bears are going to be good. He's progressing now. You are seeing him make big-time plays. The play to Swift, that looked like Patrick Mahomes, dude. Rolling out, flipping it perfectly.
It wasn't picked.
He throws a lot of balls that could be picked, and he's threading the needle. His arm strength is phenomenal. His athleticism is phenomenal. If we put the right coaching staff in place, Caleb Williams can be the Bears' first franchise quarterback in I don't know how many years.
I want to see it.
I want to see it too.
I don't think whatever kind of coach you put out there, as long as McCaskey's run this organization, I don't think they're ever going to do anything.
I don't know. I can't answer. I think you're right. I think that they're one of the worst run organizations in pro sports. Definitely in the NFL. We were talking about it last week. There's only a couple teams maybe that got worse situations, at least from an ownership organizational standpoint. The way the Bears, the assets they have, the capital they got, they should be able to be in the playoffs consistently, and they need to be able to develop a team that can win consistently. Caleb Williams is the player that's going to do it for them. Again, can they give him the pieces? Can they give him the pieces to be successful?
How many more pieces does he need? He's got quality offensive players surrounded all around him.
You're just talking about the names on the jerseys. I'm talking about the guys in the office. I'm talking about management. I'm talking about guys that can manage the clock correctly. Just simple thing. You just talked about it. You just entered it talking about a two-point call. That ain't Caleb Williams' call that they went for two. This is coaching stuff, and it's losing games for them.
And
it's lost games for them all season.
The players didn't even know they were confused. The field goal kicking team's coming out.
This is what I'm talking about, though. That's the case I'm talking about.
That's not all on the head coach.
Yes, it is.
Your special teams coach should know what the special teams is doing.
100%. Who do you think hired him?
Well, probably not.
The head coach.
Probably the
head coach.
General manager.
When you see stuff like this happening week after week on a professional football field, it comes down to your team. It's impossible to be a Bears fan for me. I've always had a hard time with it. And now that I've had to watch it, you just watch complete organizational failure on a week after week.
I just don't think that enough blame gets put on the players.
So what do you want to do? You want to keep Eberflus?
No.
All right, so you want to move on.
I don't think getting another coach is going to make that much of a difference. I really don't.
I don't think the Bears fire coaches fast enough, honestly.
I don't think
Eberflus should not be the coach this season. There's no way he should be the coach this season. I don't like it. I don't like that he came back. You knew he wasn't. You knew this wasn't going to be a long-term fit with Caleb Williams. You knew it, and now you're seeing it again. The guy's had his chance. He's a really solid defensive coordinator. Let him go defensive coordinate somewhere else in some other city, and let a guy come in here that's an offensive coach, like the guy from Detroit, and work with the kid we got that's young, athletic, and has the skills to take the
team. I really think as cheap as the Bears are, that they're going to pay that guy a whole bunch of money to come here and coach. No chance at all whatsoever.
I don't
think, zero chance.
I don't think the Bears will do anything that we talk about in here that we tell them they should do. And they won't, because that's what I think that some of the stuff that we say is pretty sharp. I think it's the type of moves that they should be making, which tells me that they won't make
them. I'm predicting that the offensive coordinator right now for the Bears is their next head coach.
Well, I think that this guy has done a much better job. But again, you're grading him against a complete clown. And you need to bring in somebody. Everything, clean sweep right now. Clean sweep. I'm not saying this guy's done a bad job, but again, you got a clean house and you got to build for the future. What are they? What's their record now?
4-7.
They're 4-7. Again, this was a team.
And they should have won the last two games, both of them.
We all talked early in the year. We all got to 9 or 10 on them.
They should have won the last two games, both of them.
The Bears could have, that record could easily be flipped.
Easily.
We know the Commanders game. That thing was
won. In the last 2 weeks, they should have won both of those games.
So it's, again, a frustrating season. But, again, silver lining here is that Caleb is progressing. They got the draft capital to bring in an offensive line. The offensive line can use improvement. I don't think it's their only problem.
Another top 10 pick.
They are going to be in business next year if they can manage it correctly. I doubt they will. But they have the pieces to be able to do it. Their offense, again, I'm not as big on Moore as everybody else. I think Moore makes, I think he's a tough player. I think he's a good wide receiver. But I don't love him as your wide receiver number one. I feel like he makes easy catches hard. I'm one of the only guys, and I feel like he's turned into a little bit of a prima donna. This year I really expected him to be tough. I expected him to back up that rookie quarterback that they put on, and I think he's been a little bit of a prima donna this year. And this is speaking from I like Moore. I was really happy the Bears got him here, but when you need to go, you're the veteran. You got to go be a leader on that team, and I just don't think he's done that.
No, not as much. Keenan Allen hasn't really stepped up as much as he should have either.
No. I mean Moore again. As a veteran, you got to understand. You got a rookie coming in here, man. This guy's never been in the league before. These are all pros.
He did say on the radio the other day too. Things move quite a bit quicker in the NFL than they do in college.
Yeah, windows close faster, and that skipping around stuff he does in the backfield for Caleb, it just don't work out as well as it did in college.
I still think he holds on to the ball too long. Took a couple atrocious sacks in that last game, especially the one in overtime.
Yeah, the one in overtime was bad.
You have to get rid of the football. That's the kind of stuff you can't blame on a head coach.
The one in overtime, again, though, think about what they what had to happen for them just to get to overtime. You know what I mean?
None of that would have had to happen if they wouldn't have went for two.
I know. And this is, again, we could go game by game, and we could pull apart things that this staff does.
Now, one sports announcer only mentioned a two-point conversion. Nobody else had a problem with that. With that call, except for one guy.
I usually don't mention stuff like that because I think sometimes there's some creativity.
Too much analytics involved. Kick the extra point.
Like Harbaugh, for example. Did you see Harbaugh? He could have went up 8, and he tried to go for 2 to go up 9 to get it to 2 scores in the fourth quarter.
Stupid.
And they didn't get it, and then they were up 7, and then obviously the Ravens ended up winning this game. But the point being is there's some analytical stuff going on there where they say, hey, let's make it 2 scores right now and see if we can close the door on this game. And I don't know who the Bears are using from that standpoint for some of their analytical stuff. I have no idea, but Eberflus, that's probably not entirely his call. He's probably getting that. If it is an analytic call, he's getting that from somewhere. But again, this is your staff.
They said there's two guys up in the box that called down to Eberflus on a play like that to tell him.
But this is all part of his staff, and this is all part of your communication structure. And when you see –
sloppy things happening on the sideline. Communication issues. Guys not being blocked.
He didn't hire these guys. His guys all got fired last year, and Poles brought in all new guys and kept Eberflus. So none of these guys working with Eberflus are Eberflus's guy.
So what does that tell you? I mean, what, you think it's a good decision to hang on to the head coach and get rid of his guys? I mean, this, I'm saying right now, this should be they should have started fresh with Caleb Williams, with the guy from the Lions, or Mike Vrabel, or Bill Belichick. I mean, there's proven guys out there that you know are all better than what we have.
Now you're going to come in again next year. Caleb's going to have to learn everything all over again.
Well, I think this is,
that's what I'm saying.
I think this is good because right. I think Caleb is he's going to see the worst that,
if,
that can happen.
If they hire this offensive coordinator as their head coach, they don't have to teach him everything all over again. He already knows the system.
Yeah, but I feel like
I don't like it. That's a Bears move right there. You know, that's what you're saying right here was hiring this guy that they've switched out Waldron for. That's a classic Bears move.
Caleb.
It's a guy that's going to be gone in 2 years. They got no make a commitment.
I
got pay a coach and make a commitment.
I got a real feeling that's the guy.
I'm not saying it won't be. It actually sounds like something that the Bears would do, which is hire the backup guy that came in and Caleb looked a little better and all this kind. No. If you're trying to predict what they're going to do, you're probably right. If you're trying to tell me what they should do, you're probably wrong. What do you think?
I was just going to say.
Look at the mic. Look at it. You got it all.
I was just going to say, I think it's good that the Bear, for Caleb, that it's the probably the best that it's going to be. I think it's always, it's going to be better from here. Like, I don't think it's going to be worse. Like, I don't think there can be any possible way that Caleb is getting worse. Yeah. Worse.
Look at him.
worse coaching that he has right now. And I think that's just going to help his growth and continue to get better. And, you know, I think when you're looking at the connections, I think that the wrong connection is getting better. I think the Moore connection is getting better. But I just feel like the Keenan Allen trade was just, I mean, or the signing, whatever, it was just, like, stupid. I don't really know. I think that maybe it was good for him to, like, be, like, a go-to guy. But Keenan, he's had a very bad drop-off. I just don't understand the signing, especially when, you know, I don't think there was any really extremely high expectations for the Bears to make the Super Bowl, especially with the coaching staff.
Just,
they have right
just
now.
Like you go back to the Baltimore Chargers game. How many times are you going to throw the ball to Quentin Johnson wide open and have him drop it? I mean, this guy's wide open and he's dropping the football.
The slant route that he ran when he just went
touchdown.
Right through his hands.
What about a touchdown?
I mean, you're talking about at least a 20, 30 yard. And that changed the whole game. That's a third down. Now you got a punt in a part of the game that they needed that catch. And then the next, now they're driving later in the game. Same thing. And now you look at it and you go, now he's in his head.
If you're the quarterback, you're like, why am I keep throwing the ball to this guy? Why?
It's tough. I mean, Herbert puts the ball on the money, on time, and the guys aren't making the plays. And this guy, you know, this guy, Johnson, this was a big problem for him. Last year. And now this year, he's made some plays. They started
thinking
he was
the number
around.
8 overall pick in the draft.
This is, look at the turnaround from the Chargers. What'd they do? What did the Chargers do from the year before?
They got a coach.
They got a coach. I know it means a lot when you bring guys in that know what they're doing and their staff knows what they're doing. You're going to see guys from Harbaugh's staff now probably get hired in other places.
I'm telling you, it makes
a huge difference.
Another prediction.
I got a prediction we're going to talk about after this.
Buying tickets for me, you, and Caden to go to the Cubs game if Nico Horner's on the opening day roster.
Okay, what? So look at he does all these predictions. Here's what's great about Uncle Clint's predictions is that we have to offer absolutely nothing. So Uncle Clint clearly thinks that Nico's gone.
100%.
So he says he's 100% gone. And all we have to do is say, okay, sounds good. So you're taking us to the Cubs game if Nico's still a Cub. And we'll take it. We got nothing to lose. I mean, we'll take it. You need to start now. Speaking of your predictions, because I got this written down here. We have another quarterback to discuss by the name of Josh Allen. Josh Allen, Uncle Clint, came forward this year and didn't say anything about this season. He said if Josh Allen ever takes his team to a Super Bowl, we get a steak dinner out of it.
Yeah, and then you included Scott in there.
I think you included Scott. I invited Coop.
So my bill's getting bigger by the minute.
I think you invited Scott. I'm pretty sure. We'll have to listen back. We'll have to check the tape on that. But
don't worry, you may as well invite every guest that comes out here.
It might happen. I mean, it might be this year. You might not even have time to say
it. I have to say that Allen's playing a lot better this year than he usually does. His turnovers are down.
I think it helps that they have like a consistent running game with Cook.
I wrote down some notes.
And their defense is really good.
18 touchdowns against 5 picks. Their defense is good, but their defense is actually middle of the road of the league. It's like 14th. I checked it because I was like, their defense has a lot of injuries on it. Like Milano, that linebacker, he's hurt. They got rid of their top corner from last year. I mean, they could be a top 5 defense in the league, but they've had a lot of injuries, and those guys still aren't back. So that could strengthen as the year goes along. But I was looking at the numbers. His number one wide receiver, who do you think it is? That's
probably the guy.
Shakir is his number one wide receiver. Khalil Shakir, think about that. And Cook's the RB1. These guys are not world beaters. Cook, I think, is a stud that they don't know how to use him. I'm not always super impressed by the Bills coaching.
I think the Bills coaching is going to cost him a chance to go.
It could because like Cook feels like he's only on the field 50-60% of the time, and he's a monster. I mean, that guy could be like a Kyren Williams. He should be out there more. Then you got underperforming guys like Kincaid. We really thought with the change with losing Diggs that Kincaid was going to have a huge year, and Kincaid really, you know, he's been.
Well, we also have
again. I think Kincaid could have a huge year. I just don't think they have place
called. Everybody was saying, "Don't draft Bowers." Number one tight end in the NFL, Blake Bowers.
Is he really
number one tight end?
Hang on, let me see what's going on here. I just hit the wrong.
Bowers has been scoring like crazy the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, you know who else has looked good is McBride. McBride has looked pretty good. The guy for Arizona.
And the guy from the Packers.
I'm telling you, I still think Kincaid is one of the top guys in the league. They just don't draw much up for him, and that goes back to the coaching. And Cook, they should be feeding him a little bit more. But here, again, we're complaining against a team that's 9-2. No one has more than 3 receiving TDs on the whole team. I mean, Allen is really spreading the ball around. I mean, there's a lot of guys 1-1-1, 2-2-2, 3-3-3 to get to his 18 TDs. Against only 5 picks. Allen also rushed for 5 TDs, but he's not like a Lamar Jackson type. He's 300-350 yards rushing.
Well, that's why I was surprised.
Guy does it all, man.
Well, I looked at Jackson. He's only got 3 picks this year. That's impressive.
I feel like Lamar's carelessness sometimes, the 3 picks are heavily assisted by being able to just put the ball in the Derrick Henry's stomach late in games when Lamar used to make
a lot of mistakes. But he always scores way more touchdowns and interceptions.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
He's not, usually, though, his picks will be low, but he usually doesn't throw a lot of touchdowns. Somewhere in the low 20s. You know, he's not typically a guy
that's throwing 30. Lamar also really hasn't had a lot of playmakers for wide receivers. He has Zay Flowers, but he just came on.
You're right. You got to give Lamar credit where it's due, man. Lamar's a game. The question is, who's it going to be this year? Because it's going to be either Mahomes, Lamar, or Josh. It's going to be one of those 3. One of those 3 is going to be
Saquon.
In the Super Bowl.
You can't count Saquon.
No, I'm talking about Super Bowl. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl? MVP wise, you're right. But in terms of which
Herbert?
One of those guys is going to make a Super Bowl.
Herbert.
I don't think the Chargers are a balanced enough team yet. Their running game stinks.
They have J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins got hurt in this game, and he's not.
Good, because that's who I needed to stay out to get the win. I said Purdy.
Yeah,
he got hurt, I got the win.
Yeah, their run game, I think like when Harbaugh gets his run game where he really wants it, they're going to be really tough because Harbaugh likes to run the ball.
Look good.
I just don't think that it's where it needs to be right now.
Look good
for San Diego.
Yeah, they came in after Dobbins went out because Gus Edwards.
Leghorn
on the Rams. I'm not sure who the
Douglas or David or something. The guy's last name starts with D.
Well, if he starts looking good, Harbaugh will use him. Harbaugh likes to use the run game. He's a good coach. Herbert looks like Herbert right now. Herbert looks good. He's able to run right now. He can throw. Chargers are a good team. And speaking of that, the Bills have only lost. They lost to the Ravens. They got beat up pretty good in that game. But again, it was close in the first half. They had some things happen in the second half that went down. But and then they lost to Houston. So the Bills Two losses right to two good teams.
If John Harbaugh decides to run the ball six times in the playoffs again, they ain't winning.
The difference for Harbaugh right now, Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry continues to hold up the way he's held up so far this season, and the Ravens got leads going into the fourth quarter, that's usually Lamar time to blow it.
The Chargers were the number one defense in football coming into this week. And Henry just shredded that defense up like they weren't even on the field.
Well, what's amazing about Henry is late in the game, you know they're running. They just want to run clock. And he's still picking up six yards
every time.
Well,
that's exactly the announcer said on there. There's 6 minutes left in the game. Derrick Henry's going to show you how to run the four-minute offense. And they didn't explain what it was.
Dude,
grind it out until you take 4 minutes off the clock.
His
they grinded it out until he took 4 minutes
off the clock. His endurance is crazy. People don't want to tackle that dude. That's how you know how hard he runs when you see guys just trying to trip him up. I mean, he runs harder than anybody else in the league. I don't think that you can really quantify how hard it is to bring him down. Because when you see late in games, when other backs struggle, when you're at that point in the game when you know they're going to hand it off, they struggle to get a couple yards. This guy's fallen forward for 4-6 yards every time he touches the ball. His yards after contact, they were showing a thing on a graphic during the game the other day. His yards after contact, he's got like 3 yards of carry after he gets contact.
I've always thought that he's the best running back in the NFL, not receiving and all that stuff. As far as straight running the football, he's the best running back in the league. I mean, there's nobody better.
He might be the best running back in the last, since when, Adrian Peterson? He's got to be the best pure running back since Adrian Peterson. And again, Henry could probably be used different on different teams and catch the ball and get you 40, 50 catches in a year. It's just the way he runs the football. Why roll him out? See, because he gets – the thought on Henry gets skewed a little bit because of this fantasy football generation where PPR and these other guys catch 6-8 balls or they end up with a season with 70 catches. Henry don't need to catch footballs. When he catches the ball, when he runs the ball, he's going to get you 4 to 6 yards anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't need a lot of that dump-off stuff to him. So Henry, for me,
these other guys like McCaffrey, who's excellent. If McCaffrey had to carry the football as many times as Derrick Henry, he'd never finish the season.
No way. He would never finish
the season.
No.
He would be injured and hurt every single year.
Again, McCaffrey, unbelievable player, but when you're just talking about a pure running back, it's Henry.
There's two guys in the league right now, maybe three if you count the guys from Detroit, that you can count on giving the ball to 25, 30 times a game, and they're going to carry the tote. Barkley, Henry, and possibly Gibbs and Montgomery. Other than that, there ain't enough of those guys. I mean, Kyren Williams possibly from the Rams, but there's
not a
lot of those guys out there that can reliably, and like Henry, the guy never fumbles. He's got one fumble and 550 carries.
I know. He doesn't fumble the football. And you got to call a spade a spade. McCaffrey, he's hurt all the time. Barkley gets hurt a lot. Barkley's been durable this year, but Barkley, these guys are younger, many years younger than Henry. Barkley, I think, is 27, 26, 27.
Henry's a machine.
I don't know how old.
Henry's a machine.
How old's McCaffrey? Okay, look it up. Do you know how old he is? No? All right, I thought you
32.
Were. He's 30.
I
don't think he's 30. You think he's that old, McCaffrey?
I'll check.
If he is, this is the tail end for him. I think he's probably 28, 29.
He's getting up there.
He's been in the league a while. McCaffrey's been phenomenal, but again, he's missed big chunks of time.
I know Henry's 30, right? Henry's 30.
I wouldn't mind seeing him get a Super Bowl, Henry. You know, he's put his time in, man, and he was putting in some time on some rough squads.
He's 28.
Some of those to 28, okay. So and Henry's 30. I know
Henry's 30, yeah.
And Saquon maybe 26, something like that. Yeah, because he just came out of his Giants deal.
Yeah.
So that would have been 4 or 5 years, so he's somewhere in that range. Saquon this year, they're starting to talk about him as a potential MVP candidate. He's definitely a candidate, no doubt. But the league is biased to quarterbacks right now, and a quarterback's going to win the MVP almost guaranteed. And then Barkley would get like offensive player of the year. That's why they created that offensive player of the year thing. These running backs should be in consideration to me.
Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley both should be mentioned, because if you take those guys off of the team and you replace him with somebody else, the team is not anywhere near as good. That's where the most valuable player is, period. See, I think, and I like Lamar, but I think if Lamar got hurt and you took Lamar off the team and you handed Derrick Henry the ball 25 times a game, you're still going to win.
Well, so I think that,
I don't know about that.
I think the main thing
you got to have a QB.
I think that
dude.
The main thing for the Eagles last year was a big reason why they struggled was because they didn't have any run game. I mean, who was their running back last year? Kenneth Gainwell.
They were splitting carries. So you talking about the Ravens?
No, the Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles. Yeah, they had Swift.
Yeah, and but he's not really a true running back. So
I know.
As I'm saying,
and Hurts.
I think it really if your struggles will disappear very quickly enough when you have a consistent running game. And again, Swift is a good running back, but he's not a guy that's going to really help you carry through your struggles.
Look, Lamar benefits off Henry, and Henry also benefits off Lamar. Having a guy like Lamar back there as the quarterback, that takes pressure off Henry. They do some RPO stuff. You never know what Lamar's going to do back there. They got to cover him all the time.
Derrick Henry was 5 yards a carry with Tennessee.
I agree, but again,
he didn't need Lamar Jackson to carry 5 yards of carry his entire career.
He also, not on many of those teams did he win like this. You win when you have a quarterback. That's what this league is built on. The best quarterback in the league has won the Super Bowl the last 2 seasons, and he's usually playing against a pretty darn good quarterback on the other side every year. I mean, that's what the league's built on. You're not – Saquon wasn't getting the same flowers when Daniel Jones was his guy.
Well, look at Baltimore last year. You carried the ball 6 times in the championship game. And you lose.
That's just
you gave your quarterback a chance to win the game, and he couldn't get it done because he only ran the football 6 times. If you got Derrick Henry and you run the ball 20 times, you beat the Chiefs in that game.
I think Henry could be the deciding factor for them. The only issue with the Ravens right now is they're normally known for their defense.
Their pass defense is worst in the league.
Their defense is not good this year.
Their pass defense is one of the worst in the league.
I don't know. You know, I don't know how that's going to shake out. I still tend to think that they hit hard when I watch the Ravens. I always feel like they punish other teams, and I still feel that way when I watch them. I still feel like that them and the Steelers, that AFC North, those teams just play a physical brand of football. But they have not been great this year.
No.
And they're going to need to be better. Because I'll tell you, when it comes to winning time, there's a guy out there named Mahomes. And when it comes time to win, that guy gets it done. They're playing against the worst team maybe that we've seen in years in this Panthers team. Panthers are sticking around in this game.
Bryce,
but when they came down to the end of that game, you just knew it. Mahomes is going to take them down, field goal, game over. Yeah, there was no question. He's a winning time dude. And one of these guys is going to have to get through him. It's going to be Lamar or it's going to be Allen. And they're going to have to – they may have to go to KC. And they're going to have to get –
the only guy that's been able to take him down is Burrow.
Yeah, and he may not have to worry about him this year because KC is the best bad team I've ever seen. I mean, Cincinnati looks great when you watch them. Burrow is putting the ball on the money. Chase looks phenomenal. The defense really doesn't even look that bad, and they're losing. And they're going to have some changes over there because you just can't – like, the NFL, the parity, it's so tight, all these games, and the Bengals just seem to always end up on the losing end of these one-score games. They can't continue this.
What do you think about the Broncos? They're going to sneak into the playoffs?
Look, man, Bo Nix could not have – fallen into a luckier situation than to have Sean Payton as his coach and be able to design an offense for him. And the Broncos, Payton can do it. I was a little skeptical of that guy. That guy's a good coach. And the Broncos are going to do it. Yeah, the Broncos are going to make the playoffs. They're going to be on the back end, and they're not going to make it deep, but they're going to be there, I think. I think they're going to be one of those.
Nix is looking better every week, too.
He does.
Every week he's looking better.
Nix has been Nix has progressed, and he's got a coach and a staff behind him that is helping him progress.
But
that's different than we got
in
Chicago.
I was against all the naysayers, though. I went against him and said Nix would be good.
Yeah, well, he doesn't really have like a lot of weapons around
you've
him.
You've had a couple things work out for you well, and that's that he landed in a spot in the perfect spot. You put Bo Nix.
Well, yeah,
if you put Bo Nix in a bad situation, you put him on the Panthers or something, he'd been a disaster this year.
I think that when you look at I think there's kind of a pattern that kind of
coaching
shows,
is critical.
Critical.
It kind of shows that when you look at the quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks down in the draft, they have more success. Even Tom Brady. I mean, it kind of seems like some of the better quarterbacks are not picked in the in the first, second, top 10 draft picks. They're more maybe in the second round, late in the first, just like Bo Nix. I think maybe because they're on a better team. I mean, Denver's not a great team, but
Denver wasn't even good last year. They weren't good last year.
Speaking of Bo Nix, when are we going to see Penix? Penix, we might see Penix.
This year.
The Falcons are a little shaky, man. Yeah. And Kirk Cousins has been a little shaky.
He's got a lot of Colts cash to spend.
That NFC South is interesting, dude. Baker Mayfield. I mean, this guy. Nobody wanted him on their team, and he's a competitor. He's tough, a competitor, man.
Pro quarterback.
He's got guys hurt, and he goes out there every week and he battles. And did you hear that he's suing his own family?
I did not hear that.
Yeah, I guess his dad and brother they run some sort of hedge fund, or it might be a private equity deal, and they. In an unauthorized manner, took $12 million from him, and he didn't authorize it. I don't know if they invested it in something or what they did with it, but he's suing his own family.
Well, that's what happened to that kid, that hockey player, Jack Johnson. His parents spent his whole first rookie contract buying houses, Corvettes, and all kinds of stuff, and he ended up having to sue them, file bankruptcy, and then battle his way back out of it.
You know, and it's sad because I don't know the Mayfield situation. I didn't read the article on it. I know the Athletic.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, the Athletic has an article on it. So I don't know enough to speak deeply on the topic. But here's a guy who the dad and the brother are probably both in the situation that they're in because of Baker Mayfield. And family members taking advantage of stuff like that is crazy because a guy like Baker, I'm sure, is more than happy to take care of his family. He's probably helped his parents with a home. He's probably helped his brother with a car. This is what these guys do. He's probably paid for lavish vacations and this type of thing. And then these guys are going to steal from him?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's definitely not the most pleasure thing to see. But you really have to hand it to the guy. I mean, he's really worked really hard in the Tampa Bay. And it's definitely a very not great to...
You're a total clown. What are you talking about? You're funny, man. Anyway, no, you're right. I mean, Baker Mayfield has been kind of a cool story in the NFL. And I was never a big fan of him at first with the Cleveland stuff and the commercials. The commercials were phenomenal, though, where he lived in Cleveland Stadium. Those were really good. But I always thought, man, I just don't know. I think he's getting too much attention with these commercials and all this stuff. And now here I'm sitting 3-4 years later going, maybe the guy deserved all that, all those accolades. And he's a football player. And I give other guys across the league, like the Puka Nakuas, the guys, these dudes just love the game. And I get that same kind of vibe.
Yeah, also, it's very impressive to see, especially how much failure he's had and then now to bounce back and have a great couple of years he's had. Especially with Chris Godwin out, it's pretty impressive.
All right, boys, we're moving on. Thanksgiving. Pick six time. All right. Caden's got the phone. But we do have a tradition that he's got to meet. The tradition is
our first junior.
The tradition is, because I've done this for a long time. Yes, this is my own tradition, and you're part of it now. Because I pick all the Thanksgiving games.
He should have lost the phone duties when he didn't come
down.
I agree, and that's why we're gonna have
that sick.
We're gonna have input here. I'm already forcing the games he's gotta pick, and we gotta pick the Friday game too.
What no?
Yeah.
What no?
Yeah, we gotta pick it.
All right,
because this is hey. Then if we win the Thursday and Friday, we could be 4-0 going into the weekend. This is what we want. Game one, Chicago at Detroit. Detroit
Chicago,
favored by 10.5.
Bears
outright. Kidding. I don't know about that. But we're going Bears. All right. Oh my God, I hate when we force ourselves to pick games and you end up with trash on trash crime. Dallas. In Dallas. favored by 3.5 Dallas. Over the Giants. I like Dallas.
Dallas got to cover that game.
I like Dallas cover. There.
I like okay. the Giants.
We're on the same. You just said Dallas.
I was kidding.
You were kidding what?
I want the Giants.
Vito. Vito?
Yeah, I'm Vito.
No, what?
Double
no, no,
Vito,
no.
Dallas.
No, yep. please.
We get to veto you. You skip out on a pod.
Okay? I was sick.
No, you weren't you sick. You were upstairs. You skipped out on the pod.
I was upstairs.
Veto.
Watching
hey,
TV.
We could veto you. All right, with a double. That's what you love. All right, yeah. Miami at Green Bay. Green Bay favored by 3.5 That's, I don't, man, that's a tough game.
I like Miami. I like Miami. Miami in that better. Game.
Yeah, but it's going to be cold.
That's true, too. Yeah, Miami in cold weather.
It sucks in the cold weather.
That's actually a pretty good point, Caden. Good thought. In Green Bay, Thanksgiving Day, 3.5 is the number, though. They got to basically win by a touchdown.
I think Green Bay. Cold weather.
Caden, we going Green Bay?
Who stinks in the cold?
And then the cold weather thought, I haven't looked at the weather. Like, I don't know if it's going to be snowing.
2-1-8 when it's under 32 degrees.
It's going to be, I would think it's going to be under 32. 1-8 And, oh, yeah, they got the, it's the night game, too.
Oh, be cold.
So it's going to be cold, yeah. I like that. Okay.
What about the Friday game?
Friday game is, oh, man. Oh, this is going to be a big number. We got Vegas in Kansas City. Kansas City favored by 12.5
I say take Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas?
I say take Vegas, 12.5 That's a lot of money. And Vegas typically plays Kansas City very, very well.
All right. I won't veto it. I just got to ask, who's Vegas' quarterback?
It's a
O'Donnell. Aiden O'Donnell back this week.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Who's Aiden their number O'Donnell one wide receiver? This
week.
Doesn't matter.
No, it's
a doesn't matter.
It's a no, I know.
All right, we'll go Vegas.
Jacoby Myers.
They're getting 12.5 I mean, 12.5 You know, that's a big number. But man, you could see sometimes those games go.
Isn't it Gardner Minshew?
Those games can go downhill very quick.
Minshew, I think, is out for the season.
Is he?
I think so.
That's
all right.
O'Connell.
We are moving on down the list now. We picked the first four games, so we're 4-4 We only got to pick two on Sunday.
Only
all right,
pick two.
Seattle at the Jets. Seattle favored by 2.5
That should be Seattle. An easy cover. Seattle.
Everybody's done with the Jets.
Jets suck.
Seattle has been. Seattle. I've been banging the Seattle drum all season. Which, by the way, Seattle right now leads the division at 6-5 That division is 6-5 6-5 5-6 5-6 That's that division. So that is
so Tampa Bay's still in it.
Tampa Bay's still in it. Yeah, they're one of they're 5-6 Wait, no. You're in the wrong division. We got the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay. And then
Cardinals are 6-5 Seahawks are 6-5
49ers.
Niners are 5-6 Rams are 5-6
Right, okay.
That's that division. Okay. So we like Seattle there. Here we go. Pittsburgh at Cincy. Cincy favored by 2.5
Stay away.
I agree. I don't like that. It's going to be a close game. That's going to come down to the end. That's like a one play type of deal.
That's a stay away.
Staying
man.
Away, Caden. Hey, you got to pay attention.
Yeah.
You're the picker. All right.
Wait,
Indy. What was it? Yeah, I'm paying attention. What was that? All right. Indy at New England. Indy favored by 2.5
Pass.
I say stay away, but I like New England in that game.
Yeah, I like New England last week. I went that route. Liking New England, getting points at home. Down, New England. No good. I'll look back at my picks from last week, or our picks, I should say.
No, you didn't tell me.
I didn't consult you at all. We were on vacation. I had to get them in, so I just went in and got them in. I thought I consulted with you.
Yeah, no.
Apparently not. Either way, another 500 a week. And some guy, the guy who was at the top of the league, he went 6-0 51-21 on the
wow.
season. Guy's killing it.
Wow, he's good.
That's one of the best records I've seen.
That's
all right.
Phenomenal.
We have Arizona. Well, we got Arizona at Minnesota.
51-21
He's killing.
Wow.
Minnesota is favored by 3.5 So Arizona at Minnesota. Minnesota favored by 3.5 Caden.
Pass.
I agree.
Pass!
Tennessee. At Washington, we have Washington favored by 5.5 Washington, by the way, has not
passed.
Your boy, Jaden Daniels, has not been looking all that great here recently.
Got 29 points in fantasy last week.
He has not been looking all that great. Let me tell you, here's the thing with him, all right? He's going to get tweaked. He's going to get an ankle. He's going to get a rib. He's going to get it. Every year, he's going to get it, and he's only going to get older. That's my concern with him. The guy we got, he's durable. This guy's going to hold up. Knock on wood. This guy's going to hold up. Okay?
He needs to hold up like he gets so sacked.
I need him holding up like a Manning. No. Nobody held up like the Mannings. Eli Manning, man, he didn't miss a game until he was in the league like 10 years, and Peyton didn't miss until he had the neck thing.
Yeah.
Those guys were durable. All right, and they sat back there and got sacked a few times, those brothers.
Yeah.
All right, we are looking at Tennessee at Washington. We passed that. All right. Chargers at Atlanta. Chargers favored by 1.5.
That should be the easiest cover of the week right there.
You like Chargers.
Chargers should easily cover that.
What?
Chargers at Atlanta. Chargers favored by 1.5. Do you like it? It's your pick, man. You only got one left.
No.
That's an easy game.
I kind of like the Chargers there. We'll look
back at
it.
That's an easy
to me, the automatic stay away this game. Houston at Jacksonville. Houston favored by 5.5.
Pass.
That's a total stay away. AFC South games, stay away. I'm telling you, anybody can win those games every week.
Pass.
Tampa at Carolina. Tampa favored by 6.5.
Carolina.
No, we're not.
Vito. I like Carolina. Bryce Young is playing really well.
I say pass.
Vito.
Carolina.
Vito. You vetoing?
I say pass.
That's a veto. We can't let him beat Carolina.
No, the Chargers. Chargers are better than Carolina.
Rams at New Orleans. Rams favored by 2.5.
I
want
Carolina. I'm not picking
another. No, this is a week. I got a good feeling about this week. All right, we're not ruining it with Carolina,
like Carolina
with the last pick. We could be 5-0. We got Carolina sitting there. He's going to blow it with this pick.
I like Carolina.
Beat him.
It is supposed to be his week to pick.
Yeah, my week.
All right, let's get through all the options first, and then we'll talk about it. Let's not forget him skipping out on the
pot. He did skip.
I was sick.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, so
not sick enough to come down here.
I was sick.
All right, I don't know where the sick nonsense is coming from. I know for a fact you weren't sick. All right, Philly at Baltimore. Baltimore favored by 2.5.
I'm passing every game. I believe in the Panthers.
Niners at Buffalo. Buffalo favored by 6.5.
Pass.
Buffalo, easy cover.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man.
49ers are done.
It feels that way, but I'm not totally giving up on the Niners yet. Cleveland at Denver. Denver favored by 5.5.
Pass.
Denver.
All right. You know what, Caden? You got to engage in every game. You can't just say pass.
I want Carolina.
You got two options here. You can take your Carolina pick at home against Tampa, which I hate that.
I would definitely take the Chargers.
I like the Chargers pick too.
Carolina.
I think the Chargers are better than Carolina.
We're taking the Chargers.
No, give me Carolina.
No.
Please. Yeah, I have the phone.
All right, he does have the phone. Should we give it to him?
Give me Carolina.
Veto.
Wait, I want to veto it too, but hey. You got to give us something. You can't give us.
I want Carolina.
Why? For what reason? Why do you like Carolina?
Bryce Young has confidence, and I still.
Bryce Young stinks.
He has confidence. He's been playing much better.
There was nowhere to go down. He couldn't get any worse than he was playing.
He did lose to Kansas City only by 3 points.
I know that. But don't let these guys
fool you. Get our number one pick confidence.
Don't let Carolina fool you.
What about Legetti? Is he going to have another big game this week?
It wasn't that big of a game. It was.
That's
8 points. Yeah, I was gonna say 4 catches for 40 yards or something. But he's got a few weapons. The Chargers over Atlanta. You don't like that better?
Chargers bounce back.
We talk you into it. You don't have any reasoning for picking Carolina other than Bryce Young doesn't look like the worst football player of all time.
No, that's really, you got a legitimate reason why you want to pick Carolina.
Is there something with the matchup you like? Because we just talked about how much we like Baker.
I just have a good feeling.
I got a bad feeling.
I went and bought a lotto ticket the other day because I had a good feeling and it didn't pan out too well. So
submit. Oh, all right. Boy. New confirmation.
Is Carolina in?
No. No, we're not picking that game. No way. I don't care. Even if Carolina wins that game, which is possible. Because Tampa's a little banged up.
Vito!
I don't care. We're not picking the Panthers unless they were playing on Thursday. If there was a Thursday game, we would have done it. All right. Chicago getting 10.5 over Detroit in Detroit. Dallas covering 3.5 at home against the Giants. Green Bay covering 3.5 at home against Miami. Vegas getting 12.5 in Kansas City. Seattle covering 2.5 over the Jets in New York. And then the Chargers covering 1.5 in Atlanta. Yeah.
Hey.
I like it.
What about replacing the Jets game with the Carolina game?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hang on.
What about replacing the Jets game with the Carolina game?
Now you veto it. Now you want it.
All right. No, I'm just saying give Kate a shot and take the Jets game out and put Carolina.
All right, let me ask
that
you
way
this.
We go 5-1.
Let me ask you this, Kaden. Are you willing to have to go 4-2 to keep the phone?
What?
Instead of just 500 or better, you got to go 4-2 to keep the phone.
I have all confidence.
All right.
So I'll get the phone next week.
I just pulled an Uncle Clint type.
So do you guys think
he didn't come back?
Do you guys
think
Horner's going to be there?
What's the move? Like, why is he gone?
Shaw, minor leaguer, ready to come.
Minor leaguer. Oh yeah, he's really good.
Really good, and they don't have anywhere to put Horner because they got that big contract with Swanson at shortstop.
Yeah, I was hearing a little bit about that, about this guy, but is he ready?
He's ready.
I mean, how ready? Like, what did
he's
he
ready.
Do? What did he? Okay, hang on.
Let's just
finished our Thanksgiving pick six.
Look up
our final topic is baseball anyway, so let's just go.
Look
right
up,
into
look
it.
Up, Chuz.
But what did he do last
look up
year?
Chuz, well, AAA
so
numbers.
Like,
raked in AAA. Right?
So he was just in like this like USA thing type of thing where it's like. It was like he's facing other countries.
Caden, give us his AAA number.
Look at where Caden's mic's at.
And he was part of the All-World 2024 World Baseball Confederation Premier. And there was it was like with the best USA players at his like age. It was Rich. Wait, no. Wait, why does it say Rich Hill? Wait, it says Rich Hill, Matt Shaw.
Rich Hill.
Chandler, give me this guy's name, Clint.
Chandler Simpson.
Shaw.
What's his first name?
Ryan Ward.
He said Matt. I thought it was Brian Shaw. Oh.
Brian Shaw was the Lakers coach back in the day, wasn't he?
It's his son.
Matt Shaw. 23 years old?
Yep.
Does this sound right?
Uh-huh.
Maryland? He's a professional shortstop in the Chicago Cubs organization. All right, let's get a look at his minor league numbers here. He's small. 5'9", 185. So he's like Horner size. I'm guessing that's about the same size as Horner. Shortstop, second base. That's second baseman size.
He's going to have to play second anyway for the Cubs.
Second baseman size, without a doubt. 2024, I'm trying to see. He did some AAA and some AA in 24. Minor league stats are a lot harder to look at. Batted about, looks like 285. 379 OBP. Let's see what kind of power he had. Man, it's hard. It's hard to read stuff on reference. There's too many different numbers. But anyway, this is our guy.
That's your second base.
Man, he had a lot of plate appearances. So he, oh yeah. He's got some power. Guy's got pop. He had 21 homers. That's a lot. 21 homers, 71 RBIs, 31 stolen bases. Had some walks, strikes out a little bit, fits right in on this team.
I think this is your second base
so,
next year.
It's hard for me to say it, but I like it. I like it. I mean, Horner.
Horner's my favorite player on the team.
I'm a huge fan of Horner, but he's not really like.
But he's a guy.
He's a guy
that can play shortstop and second base, and he's got value. You can get something for him.
That's what I think. I think you can get something for him. We got him. We got him on a good deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not costing us a lot, which means we can move him and get something for
I'd
him.
I'd look to get a good reliever, a front end reliever, or maybe a third or fourth starter for him if we can. We need to probably a reliever, but a good reliever.
We need to get some relief pitching.
The big question is.
So what do you think the odds? What do you think the odds of Horner being around that opening day?
Doesn't matter. I take your deal anyway, because I got nothing. I got nothing to go back to you with. If he's not on the team, you're taking me to a game, so I'll take it. Deal. Sounds good. But I would tell you that I tend to agree with you. I think he's, based on what you said and looking at this kid and not knowing all the facts behind it and the numbers and the financial stuff, I think there's a good chance because they got to do something. I mean, you hear all these guys. Cap has a podcast called the Recap, and he argues with this other guy he brings on all the time. And the guy goes, well, what are you going to change? And Cap's like, we got to change something. You got to move. They go, well, are you going to get rid of Horner? And he's like, yeah. Cap's like, yeah, you got to do something. You can't just you can't say you just like all the guys and then not like the result. You got to make changes.
And for the Cubs,
look what we're competing against here. You saw what they did. Now, just today, just this morning, I wake up and see that the Dodgers signed Blake Snell.
What did you hear about Juan Soto?
Soto's an awesome player. It doesn't matter where he goes. If the Dodgers are going to continue to do what they're doing here. The Dodgers, listen to this. The Dodgers won the World Series without a performance on the mound by Tyler Glasnow, Shohei Ohtani, and now add to the list Blake Snell.
Like I said last year.
I mean, this is absurd.
Like I said last year. Dodgers spend money, Cubs do not.
Hey, you got a lot of hot takes, all right? Some of them are pretty darn good, but Dave Roberts managed his tail off this year, man. He made moves. He put Bueller in
to finish things up. Dave Roberts has got so much talent in L.A., a scarecrow.
I knew he was going to do this. The dude made moves.
Hey, that good.
We were live on the pod. I don't know if it was me and Kate.
We were live on the pod.
They were down. The Dodgers were down in that game. Big. It looked like it was going back to New York.
No, going back to L.A.
Yeah, I'm sorry, going back to L.A. And the Dodgers came back in that game and won it. Closed out, took down the World Series.
Yeah,
and Roberts made a gutsy move and put Bueller in to finish it off. I mean, the guy made some moves throughout the postseason that were quality. I'm telling you.
I heard that Bueller
You got to give credit where it's due because the Yankees, it's not exactly like he was facing, you know, the Rays that were spending $40 million a year. They were facing the Yanks.
Yankee whose manager puts in a guy that hasn't pitched in 4 months to come in and try and close out a game. You may as well just give that game away.
That's the point I'm making. So you just made the point that no matter what you got, what kind of arsenal you got, if your manager makes a dumb move, you can lose. And Boone,
make the other manager look good.
Let me ask, is Boone going to be around?
No, Boone's fired.
No, he's going to be back. I just heard.
I think Boone should be fired too.
I actually like Boone. I like watching him manage.
Boone in a World Series did some terrible managing. Terrible.
Dude, they.
And I hate to give Dave Roberts credit, but he did get the job done.
So. Roberts got it done. I watched a lot of the postseason and I was impressed. I can't believe it. I thought he did a really good job.
I think Craig Counsell could have won with that team.
I know Craig Counsell could have won without that team. You don't like Counsell either, but Counsell is a good call manager.
Counsell stinks.
No, he doesn't.
Counsell stinks.
Counsell is a really good manager.
Counsell stinks.
Roberts is not only. Here's how bad your take is on Roberts. They're talking about Dave Roberts, Hall of Fame manager.
Oh, God.
Hall of Fame. Yeah. This guy, look up his numbers. Guy's a big-time winner.
Put him on a team that ain't loaded with not monstrous talent and see how the guy can manage.
Man, it's a world of haves and have-nots, and the Dodgers have it. The Dodgers are spending money. Oh, yeah, you know who else wasn't 100%? Yamamoto. They are going to be so loaded next year. The offensive guys, they're all back. Everybody's back. Mookie's back. Shohei's back.
They're going to be so loaded that you could put Dave Roberts under the clubhouse and put a scarecrow in there with his uniform on, dude, and they'll be able to be back in a World Series.
You got Dave Roberts in a no-win situation, all right? He's managing the best team in baseball. He's going to get another World Series or two or three out of this group. I think they win next year without question. I don't think there's any way. I mean, even in baseball, where the postseason is so unpredictable, when you put the pitching that they're going to have with the offense that they already got, it's unbeatable.
Chance to get snow. They didn't open up their wallet.
The Cubs are busy playing around, making these rinky-dink moves. Caden posts them on Instagram. There are these little moves. The Dodgers making waves, and we're making little splashes. And it's upsetting because we're going to enter another season where the great got even greater, and the average, we're just going to stay. What are we going to win next year? 85 games? Maybe we get in the postseason. We're not going to be able to mow down any of these big dogs.
I say 500 again. I don't think we're going to improve much. I don't think counts is that good.
The bleeping Dodgers. I'm telling you, these guys, people don't even realize they had a pitching staff that most teams would be happy having that wasn't even playing this year, this postseason. Kershaw, Ohtani, Glasnow. I mean, you can say Yamamoto, I think he only pitched one game in the World Series. This is unbelievable what the Dodgers are doing. And what's going to happen with your guy Soto? Where's he going to go? Because he's going to look at – I think he's going to go to the Mets.
Soto was supposedly this morning, a guy reported that he was signed with the Mets for 10 years, $700 million. But I haven't seen anything official on that yet.
I heard Soto's announcement is going to come really late and that he's going to keep himself on the market and listen to what every team has got to say. I don't know.
I heard the Cubs –
Cubs are not,
Cubs are
in
not
Soto.
Getting Soto. Don't even think about
I heard the Cubs are out.
Cubs are definitely out.
Let me ask you this. I know we all agree on this, that they're out. Why are they out? Why?
They're out because our owner's more worried about building motels and all kinds of fine dining and stuff down there around the stadium instead of putting a winning baseball team out there. That's why we're out.
Look, man, Shohei, MVP. Judge, MVP. When it was go time this year in the World Series, it was Soto time. He was a beast in the postseason, man. And in the World Series, he was looking like...
Wasn't he good with Washington, too, when they went?
Yes, he's tough. Postseason. I mean, he just got that look in the postseason. When he hit that big home run in the ALCS, where he was nodding, that pitcher made a couple pitches, he went deep into that count, and he's just nodding at that guy like, all right, this is competition. He took him deep.
The problem Soto's is with these guys, when he gets to be 35, 36 years old, are you going to get that kind of production out of a guy making $70 million a year?
Nowadays, and that's why the signing of Ohtani is so important, right? Like, he was still young. Like, they got him at 30.
I mean,
30.
Soto's only 26.
You know that Soto, he's worth it right now. Soto's worth it. You got to pay him. Even if he takes a slide at some point, you got to pay that guy his money and take a shot at him. What else? What do we need to do right now? We need pitching and we need offense.
Well,
this team.
The guy I would like to see the Cubs get, but I thought they were going to get him last year. I don't think they're going to pony up. I would love to see the Cubs get Pete Alonso.
You need Pete Alonso. Well, you need Vlad Guerrero. Bush, it doesn't matter. Keaton, I understand. You like Bush. I like Bush. I thought the guy had a good year, but that's not a World Series winning team with Bush there at first base.
I think it is.
No.
It's not. And you got to get a big dog there at those
points. We need some guys who can hit.
We're sticking with Paredes, okay? And Paredes, maybe he has a 30-35 homer season. I'm okay with that if he does.
We need that.
I think he can give you that. But on the other side, at first base, you need a horse over there because you're not getting it from the middle. You're going to have a rookie. Likely, or
and then if you can get Shaw, second baseman, to hit you 20-25 home runs, your offense is going to get beefed up a little bit.
I Shaw being there would be awesome. You're not going to get a whole lot offensively out of Swanson. You already know that. I heard Belly's on the block.
Oh, yeah.
Belly's going to be gone.
You think that he's not playing Cubs this year?
No.
You think he's gone?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
I think him and Horner.
The sad thing about that is on an average team, you look at that and you go, okay, we can manage without Belly. But then you look at this team and you go, 20 homers and 80 RBIs is a stud offensive player on the Cubs.
Well, I think there's really no way, there's no place to put Bellinger, especially with PCA where he's going to control.
It all is going to depend on if the Cubs sign like an Alonso type guy. If they don't, they can keep Belly at first base.
That's true. But then what about his guy? Because Belly is a more true utility where he could play the outfield, he could play first.
They may do like they did last year and leave Suzuki be DH most of the year.
Suzuki's your weakest outfielder.
Non-tender Talkman.
Again, Talkman, nice player. A guy that, you like to have come in. But, again, these are all guys.
He's not the kind of guy that's going to get you over the top.
No, this team needs arms.
I love Nico Horner. He's my favorite Cub. But it's time for him to go.
Well, also, I feel like the guys that the Cubs thought that were going to be over the top, they've not. I mean, Swanson, Hap. Even PCA, I don't think there's a lot of really high.
Let me explain to you how much money you need to spend to be competitive.
$1 million.
I'm going to give you a scenario right now.
What?
We get Snell, we get Soto, and we get Alonso. Do we win?
No.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We still don't win.
Got a chance to win.
You got a chance. That's what I'm saying. You got a chance. But that's the kind of, and we're not going to get any of those guys. Maybe Alonso, but that's the kind of money you got to go spend. And the Dodgers don't hesitate. The Dodgers don't go, we won this year. We're done. We're good.
Same thing with the Yankees. We're good. There's a reason they got 26 banners hanging up in the stadiums because they spend money.
Do the Yankees let Soto slip through their fingers? You got to think. I think he's staying in New York. The question is, which side, which borough? You know what I mean?
He's not coming back to the Yankees.
In the Bronx or he's going
to
be in Queens?
I don't think he's coming back to the Yankees. I really don't.
Why not? Why wouldn't he want to play with the Yanks, man? The Yanks, the Yanks, that's the franchise, man. People want to be in the pinstripes.
I don't think he wants to play for them.
There is something weird going on there because I expected him. Why wouldn't he have just committed to them with the success the team had this year, the success he had? Maybe he didn't like something. Maybe there's something. Maybe they need Boone gone and he would be back. Who knows? But it's hard for me to believe that the Yankees – let Soto slip through their fingers. I'm still going to put them number one and the Mets number two and then see where it ends up.
I heard the Cubs are interested in Max Fried and Jack Flaherty.
Fried would be nice. Fried would be nice. And it's those types of moves you got. I don't want to say he's my favorite Cub, but I really like Suzuki's offense. I think Suzuki's a top offensive player. If he gives you a full season, he's not a great outfielder. If he gives you a full season, I think you can get 30 to 35 homers and 100 RBIs out of him. And if you beef up those corner spots, the Cubs offense could have it. But then pitching-wise, they can't just sit back. They got a good staff, but they got to make moves. They got to beef up that bullpen.
What would you rather get for Horner? Would you rather get a relief pitcher or a starting pitcher?
Relief. Relief pitching. They need relief
pitching.
Yeah, our starting
rotation.
Didn't they just get a good reliever from Cleveland?
Caden knows.
Yeah, they got Eli Morgan.
Yeah.
They need to continue to beef up that bullpen. What we saw this year, again, you flip those games, how many games they lost.
I would only make that bet to take you guys to a Cub game if I was confident that Horner's out of the building. I mean, I'm pretty confident that he's out of the building.
Well, we're not going to hold you to all this stuff, mainly because I'm putting on my – I'm tucking my napkin in right now because I think the Bills are going to make it to the Super
Bowl. Then he invites Coop. Coop probably eat two steaks.
Coop. Hey, speaking of that, we need to mention, shout out LT.
Undefeated
regular season for IHSA football. They did end up losing in the quarterfinals to Naperville Central, and they had a great season. Honestly, they were in the Central game. The score was 24-7. It looked lopsided, but They were there. They hung around in that game. That Central team had a really good game plan against them, and they ran the ball and just ate the clock.
That's how Loyola kills you. Loyola kills you by running the football.
They knew exactly what they needed to do to LT, and they did it.
I would be absolutely floored if York beats Loyola. I would be absolutely shocked.
Uncle Clint's talking Class 8A IHSA football state championship Loyola.
And Uncle Clint called York. Loyola. He called Loyola from the very beginning. I said the top of that bracket.
Yes, you said they were going to beat Lincoln Way East. They beat Lincoln Way East. And now you got, Loyola's looking for their third consecutive state title. I can't believe York made it. I mean, that's right there in our division, in LT's division, and they had York, Downers Grove North, and LT all at some point in the season. They were all top 10 teams, and York made it from a pretty low seed. I think they were
12 to 14. Yeah, but Loyola's 12.
Loyola, yeah, Loyola. That's because of their strength of schedule. They had a couple losses because they played. They play some of the best teams in the state regularly. So, but again, Loyola looks like they're on track to take home an 8A state crown again.
Who beat DGN?
Downers Grove North. They're in 7A.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Batavia or something. I'm not sure. I don't remember. I'd have to look back. But again, LT.
Is that who Carmel's playing, Batavia?
Not sure. I don't remember. I tend to look at 8A. I mean, because the other, you know, not that the other ones don't matter, but LT's in 8A. And
how does Carmel never end up going up to 8A?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they, I think you got to win two in a row or something like that. I don't, I'd have to look back to understand or look at the rules.
Carmel's 7A.
LT was doing something interesting. When you, high school football has different rules, and it got posted on like ESPN or something. Yeah. They showed me that they would, if they were fourth down on their own 30-yard line, they'd attempt a field goal. Because the punter could, or the kicker could more control where that ball was going to land. And a missed field goal in high school, the other team gets the ball at their 20. So if you actually miss it, so if you miss it out the back of the end zone, the other team gets the ball at their 20. Even if you kicked it, even if you're trying to kick a 55-yard field goal. Most people don't know this. I've learned it watching a game. I'm like, why is LT attempting a 60-yard field goal? He missed it. The other team got the ball at their own 20. So that's a huge tactical thing. Then, if you miss a field goal from like, I mean, we saw LT attempt like an 80-yard field goal. The other team's just fielding it like it's a punt. But they were more confident in their kicking game being able to place the ball via a field goal than via a punt. I've never seen that before. That was kind of interesting. But the reason behind it has a lot to do with the high school rules being different than the pro rules. But again, LT, man, they ended up being 11-1. That's a great season for them. And it's unlikely that you can return
now
with that type
Coop's
of performance.
Done. When high school football, I want him in the Coop Challenge.
This might be a time to get him. You know what? I've been thinking. Maybe
I'm on it right after we eat steak dinners when I want him. That way he'll be all loaded.
What about you? How are you going?
I'm all right. I'm good.
So now he's in on the steak dinner. I think I said I would cover Coop's plate.
Yeah, I think you did.
But I'm telling you, the Bills.
Coop, eat two steaks, would you?
I'm telling you right now, the Bills may be there as soon as this season. Oh, there's a good chance. I mean, I would put a good 35% chance.
Sicker, man. I bet
him, Lamar, Mahomes is going to be there, and that KC team looks shaky this year. I don't know. They can get surprised. They can get bounced by anybody.
I still think it's going to be.
Where are we going?
Choke Allen.
Me and you were already starting to look through some menus. Kind of Choke thinking Capital Allen. Grill.
I have not been there.
You haven't been to Capital Grill? Decision
Capital
made then. That's definitely where we're going.
Capital Grill.
Oh, that sounds perfect. All right, so now we know exactly where we're going. If and when, because Allen is going to make it. The question is, will we be doing it this February or a future February? Josh Allen's not going. This guy's one of the best football players in the league, dude. He's not going his whole career and not making a Super Bowl. No way. So this is like a guaranteed dinner. Guaranteed. Now, the other guys can fall off, you know, because, like, the genius, he'll forget. Coop's going to be away at college if it's not.
Genius won't forget.
Genius won't?
No. Genius will be knocking on my.
He's got the memory of an elephant.
He'll be knocking on my office door as soon as they make the Super Bowl. Will we go over to steak dinner? Will we go over to steak dinner?
Who offered that?
You did.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go back and check the tape.
Oh, man.
Uncle Brett's spending my money over here right away.
That's because I know everybody knows. Everybody can't believe your hatred for Josh Allen. I mean, this guy's a stud.
I like him better than Dave Roberts.
You don't like Roberts. You don't like Allen. I mean, you got a list. Hating on Frank Thomas. I mean, your list.
I call him the big skirt.
All right, man.
He's not the big hurt. He's the big skirt.
That's for you, Pete. That's for
Pete,
you. He's always.
Big skirt.
That's all. Dude, why are you coming out? Uncle Clint's had some major hot takes on some topics this year. I tell you, there were some others I'm not even thinking of. I can't remember, but Dave Roberts has got a World Series. Josh Allen is on his way for an MVP season. I think there's some of these takes.
Something that just came to mind is how the Cubs almost lose to the worst team in baseball history, the White Sox. They were almost losing to them two times.
Don't even mention
counts. Counts. No good.
Look, it's Major League Baseball. White Sox still won 20-something games.
They won 40 games.
Oh, 40-something.
They're the worst team ever.
Oh, it was, man, I feel bad for Sox fans. You know what I thought of that?
I hope they lose less this year or more. Hope they lose more games this year than they did last
year. There's no way. It's just, I mean, there is just no way that they're going to have a season like that. I mean, 60-70 game. You win 60. You got to win 60.
I think the Sox win 50.
I think the Sox, again, they'll be awful again, but not, it won't be anything maybe like it was this year. All right, this has been good. We covered everything. We got our Thanksgiving picks in. Everybody, you and your families have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy this time. We are going to do the same. We're going to eat too much food. Right now it is Wednesday evening at about 5 o'clock, and we are going to be signing off. So thanks so much for listening. Enjoy your holiday.